All right, let's dive into something kind of crazy. We're talking crypto heists. You know, the kind where millions, even billions, disappear just like that.
Yeah, it's wild.
In 2022 alone, over $3.8 billion just poof, vanished through these phishing attacks, all targeting crypto wallets.
That's insane.
It's mind-blowing, and it makes you think, how secure are these cryptocurrency wallets that we're all relying on?
That's a great question, and that's exactly what we're going to dig into in this deep dive.
Yeah.
Really unpack this whole debate around cryptocurrency wallet security, specifically looking at these new seedless wallets that are kind of shaking things up.
Exactly. So we're going to be looking at BC Vault.
Okay.
It's a seedless wallet company, and they put out this document kind of outlining their arguments for this whole seedless approach. Now, of course, they have a dog in this fight. They're trying to promote their product.
Right.
But I think their perspective is really interesting because it sheds light on some of the potential vulnerabilities with this traditional seed phrase system
Yeah.
that's used by like the big names like Trezor and Ledger.
Yeah, for sure. That's what everyone knows and uses. A
Yeah.
lot of people just assume that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe they're right, maybe they're not. That's what we're going to find out.
Exactly. So we're going to kind of put these two approaches head to head and see what comes out on top.
It's going to be good.
So, for anyone who might need a quick refresher,
Yeah.
a seed phrase is basically like the set of 12 to 24 words that act as the master key to your crypto wallet. It's meant to be like this ultimate backup, this safety net. So you can recover your funds if you lose your device or forget your password. Sounds good in theory, right?
Totally. It's like that one thing you absolutely need to keep safe.
Yeah.
Like, write it down, put it in a safe.
Exactly. But as with so many things in cybersecurity, the devil's in the details. And the BC Vault document we're looking at argues that that devil might just be the seed phrase itself.
So what are they saying is wrong with it?
Well, they claim that relying on seed phrases creates this single point of failure, this vulnerability that hackers and scammers are just waiting to exploit.
Yeah, that makes sense. If someone gets your seed phrase, they have everything.
I've got the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, basically.
And remember those billions lost to phishing attacks we talked about? Well, a good chunk of that probably happened because people got tricked into giving up their seed phrases.
Yeah.
It's like leaving the key to your safe hanging on a sign that says, "Steal me."
I like that. A neon sign flashing.
Exactly. And it's not just digital threats. The BC Vault document also points out physical vulnerabilities. They give this example of a Trezor user who had their seed phrase written down and stored at home, got burgled, and poof, 1.2 Bitcoin vanished.
Ouch, that's gotta hurt.
Gone, like it never existed.
And there's no getting it back.
Nope. So it makes you wonder if even keeping your seed phrase at home isn't safe, what is?
Right, where do you put it?
Yeah, that's a big question. And that's the question that BC Vault is trying to answer with this whole seedless approach. But before we get into that, it's important to understand the scale of the problem here. Get this, an estimated 20% of all Bitcoin is lost forever because of forgotten or mishandled seed phrases.
Seriously, 20%.
20%. That's a crazy amount of Bitcoin.
It is. It's like we were saying before, it's a lot of money. Over $120 billion
Yeah.
with a B.
Billion with a B.
Just gone, poof.
Vanished into the digital abyss.
Like launching a rocket full of cash into space and forgetting where you sent it.
That's a perfect analogy. And it's not just isolated incidents. The BC Vault document cites all these high-profile hacks that specifically targeted seed phrases.
Right, like specific vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading about that Ledger data breach back in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
Hackers got into all this personal info, over 270,000 Ledger users,
Yeah.
and then just this massive wave of phishing attacks,
Yeah.
over $10 million stolen.
Yeah. Just gone. And there was that sneaky one with Trezor, where these fake Trezor apps popped up on Google Play,
Oh yeah, those were nasty.
designed to steal people's seed phrases.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Another $1 million down the drain.
It's starting to feel like having a seed phrase is like painting a target on your back. So what about this argument that open source wallets are safer? Because you know more eyes on the code should mean more vulnerabilities are spotted and fixed.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? Transparency is usually a good thing when it comes to security.
Yeah.
But BC Vault pushes back on that.
Oh, really?
They're saying open source can be a double-edged sword.
So they're saying open source can actually make you more vulnerable? That seems kind of counterintuitive.
It might seem that way, but think of it like
Yeah.
this. Open source code is like a blueprint that everyone can see.
Okay.
So yeah, it allows for transparency and community scrutiny. but it also exposes the wallet's inner workings to anyone who wants to look, including the bad guys.
Ah, so bad actors could use that knowledge to find exploits and attack the system.
Exactly. They're basically handed the keys to the kingdom. BC Vault's more into this security through obscurity approach. Now, they're not just hiding their code because they're lazy or something. It's more about recognizing that sometimes keeping certain aspects hidden can make it harder for those attackers to figure things out.
So it's like hiding your valuables in a secret compartment instead of displaying them out in the open.
Exactly. And BC Vault's got a pretty impressive track record to back up their claims. Remember we were talking about all those hacks, target and seed phrases?
Yeah.
Well, BC Vault, with their closed system and this whole obscurity thing, claims they've never been hacked.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, especially since even those big open source wallets like Trezor and Ledger, they had breaches. This security through obscurity thing, it's starting to sound kind of appealing. But how does a wallet work without a seed phrase? I mean, it almost sounds like magic.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like magic, doesn't it? Like, how do you create a secure backup without relying on this single phrase that anyone could steal or figure out?
Well, BC Vault, they use this technology called FRAM, which stands for Ferroelectric RAM, for their encrypted backups. It's like this super robust and long-lasting type of digital storage, kind of like a flash drive on steroids. Okay, I'm intrigued, but I gotta say, I'm also a bit skeptical. Like, my phone can barely hold a charge for a day, you know? How can we trust something to store our crypto securely for years, let alone decades?
That's the cool thing about FRAM. It's incredibly resilient. They boast a data retention lifespan of up to 100 years. Like, think about how long you keep your photos or important documents.
Right.
FRAM just outlasts pretty much everything.
100 years. That's longer than most of us will be around to worry about our crypto.
Exactly.
Okay. But let's say I lose my BC Vault device. How do I get my funds back without that magic seed phrase?
That's a good question. So instead of that single seed phrase, BC Vault uses multiple layers of security. It's kind of like a digital fortress with all these checkpoints. So first you have your PIN code, just like you use for your bank card.
Okay.
Then there's a passphrase, which is a longer, more complex string of words or characters. Just adds that extra layer of protection.
Okay.
And then on top of that, you have those encrypted backups stored on that super durable FRAM we talked about.
Okay, so it's not just one single point of failure. It's like multiple layers all working together.
Exactly, multiple lines of defense.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if someone steals my device and they somehow crack my PIN and passphrase? Are my funds still at risk?
That's where the hardware encryption kicks in. So the BC Vault device itself has this built-in encryption. It protects your private keys, which are basically the passwords that give you access to your crypto.
Yeah.
So even if they steal your device, they can't actually get to your funds without the correct PIN, the passphrase, and the encryption key, which is stored securely on the device.
Okay, so we've got the PIN, the passphrase, the hardware encryption. What's the fifth layer?
The fifth layer is all about secure storage. Mm-hmm. So BC Vault devices are designed to be tamper-proof and resistant to physical attacks. Mm-hmm. They're not connected to the internet, which means no remote hacking.
Right.
So even if someone gets through all those other security measures, they still have to physically get into the device.
Wow, five layers of protection.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
It's like Fort Knox for your crypto.
That's a good way to put it.
It makes you wonder why everyone isn't using this type of wallet.
Yeah, you'd think so, right?
If seedless wallets are potentially so much safer, why are so many crypto influencers still promoting the old vulnerable seed phrase systems? It's kind of baffling.
Yeah, it's a good question. And it really speaks to some of the kind of complex dynamics in the crypto community. The BC Vault document touches on this, and they suggest a few possible reasons. One of them is money.
Ah, so you're saying these influencers might be getting paid to promote certain wallets, even if they're not the most secure options.
It's possible. A lot of influencers rely on those sponsorships and affiliate deals. Mm. And they might be getting some pretty sweet offers from those big wallet brands that haven't jumped on this seedless tech yet.
So they're basically prioritizing profit over the safety of their followers. That's not cool.
It's not always black and white. Some influencers might genuinely believe in what they're promoting, even if the products aren't perfect security-wise. Mm-hmm. And remember, the crypto world's still pretty new. Security standards are changing all the time. What's considered safe today might be obsolete tomorrow.
That's true. But it still feels a bit shady when influencers are pushing products without really understanding the risks.
Yeah, that's where critical thinking comes in.
Yeah.
As consumers, we can't just take the word of influencers or any single source for that matter.
Right.
Got to do our own research, compare different options. and ultimately make smart choices based on our own needs and our own risk tolerance.
Totally agree. It's like anything else. You can't just blindly follow the crowd. You got to educate yourself and make choices that align with, you know, what's important to you.
Yeah.
But let's circle back to the BC Vault argument for a sec. They make a big deal about their unhackable track record, right? Contrasting it with all the vulnerabilities of the popular seed phrase wallets. But is it really fair to call them unhackable?
But unhackable is a strong word. No system is truly 100% immune to attacks.
Right.
Especially in cybersecurity.
Right. Things are always changing.
Exactly. What BC Vault is really emphasizing is that their approach, you know, the multiple layers, the security through obscurity, has been really effective at preventing hacks.
So far, so good, it seems.
Yeah, knock on wood.
But what about that argument that open source software is inherently more secure because of the transparency? Isn't it better to have more eyes on the code, checking for those vulnerabilities?
Transparency is definitely valuable.
Yeah.
And open source software has its benefits. But BC Vault's perspective kind of challenges this assumption that open source automatically means better security. Their point is that by making the entire code base public, you're basically giving potential attackers this detailed roadmap of how your system works.
Okay, I see what they're saying. It's like leaving the blueprints to your house lying around, makes it easier for your friends to come over, but it also makes it easier for burglars to plan their entry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while the open source community can help find and fix those vulnerabilities,
right,
it's also possible that the bad guys could discover them first.
Right.
Before they're patched. So BC Vault's security through obscurity approach is all about making it harder for attackers to understand and exploit those inner workings.
So it's like this balance act, right? Open source offers transparency and community scrutiny, but it also has that risk of exposing those vulnerabilities to the bad guys.
Yeah.
And BC Vault goes for a more closed approach, hoping to make their system harder to crack by keeping certain things under wraps.
It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
No easy answers. Ultimately, the best way to approach security is going to be multifaceted.
Yeah.
Depends on the specific technology, what kind of risks you're dealing with, and the individual user's needs and preferences.
It all comes back to that informed decision making, right?
Mm.
We got to weigh the pros and cons of different approaches, figure out our own risk tolerance, and make choices that just feel right for us.
Totally. Blind trust is never a good idea,
yeah,
especially in the crypto world. Things change so fast.
Yeah.
We got to stay informed. Ask questions. And really think critically about all the information we're getting before making any decisions about our digital assets.
This has been really insightful. I feel like I've gone from a crypto novice to a security conscious investor in like an hour.
I'm glad to hear that.
But with all this talk about vulnerabilities and risks, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, it can be a lot to process. But remember, knowledge is power. One of the best things you can do is stay up to date on the latest security threats and best practices. Subscribe to good crypto news sources. Follow security experts on social media. Just make it a habit to stay in the loop.
Okay, so stay informed. Got it. What else? Are there any specific things people can do to protect their wallets?
Yeah, for sure. For starters, always double check those URLs before you enter any sensitive info.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Especially your seed phrase or private keys. Be wary of those phishing scams trying to trick you into giving up your credentials.
Phishing scams are everywhere these days. It's not just crypto.
Exactly. And remember those multiple layers of security we talked about.
Yeah.
Apply that same principle to your crypto habits. Enable two-factor authentication on all your accounts. Use strong, unique passwords. And consider using a password manager.
Okay.
Keep track of everything securely.
Yeah, it sounds like common sense, but it's easy to forget when you're dealing with something like digital currency. It feels kind of abstract.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing to consider is diversifying your storage methods.
Oh.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Right.
Explore different wallet options like hardware wallets, software wallets.
Yeah.
Even look into cold storage solutions for those long-term holdings.
Cold storage. Is that like keeping your crypto on a flash drive locked in a safe?
Pretty much, yeah. Cold storage is all about keeping your crypto offline, totally disconnected from the internet. It's considered one of the most secure methods because it removes that risk of online attacks.
Interesting. So for those super security conscious investors, cold storage might be the way to go.
Definitely worth looking into,
mm,
especially if you're holding on to a lot of crypto. But every method has its trade-offs, right? Cold storage is great for security, but it's not so convenient if you're making frequent transactions.
Right, so it comes back to that balance between security and convenience.
Exactly. No one-size-fits-all solution. Understand the different options, figure out your own needs, your own risk tolerance, and make informed choices about how you want to manage your crypto.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive. I feel like I've learned so much about crypto wallet security, and I'm sure our listeners have too. But before we wrap things up, I want to go back to that question we posed earlier. How much weight do you place on the security of your chosen cryptocurrency wallet?
It's a question every crypto investor should ask themselves.
Yeah.
For some people, convenience is king. They just want easy access to their funds. They're willing to take on a bit more risk.
Yeah.
Others, especially those holding larger amounts, they might prioritize security above all else, even if it means a bit less convenience.
Right. And as we've discussed, there's no right or wrong answer. It's all about finding what works for your situation.
Absolutely. The key is to be proactive, not reactive. Don't wait till you've been hacked to start thinking about security. Take the time now to educate yourself. Look at your options and make those smart choices that protect your investments.
So to wrap things up for our listeners, what's the one key takeaway you want them to remember about keeping their crypto safe?
I'd say this. Your wallet is your fortress. Choose wisely.
Love that. Think about it, folks.
And don't be afraid to dig a little deeper. Question those assumptions. Look beyond the flashy marketing. The security of your investments could depend on it.
Such great advice. This was a great deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.